Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Betfair's Racing Only Better podcast ahead of the weekend's action. And I can't believe we're now in April and we're still talking about the bloody weather. I mean, honestly, weather may well scupper proceedings. We've obviously got ITV Racing from Kelso. They're taking four races from there on Saturday, but they have had a deluge of rain and it means that that may well be in doubt. So we're going to focus our attentions at the top of this show to the all-weather action at Kempton and a little bit of Chelmsford as well. We will cover Kelso, but we're going to leave it to last in case it doesn't make it, essentially, to make listening and viewing to this as easy as possible. I get to do all of this, as always, in the company of Daryl Carter, Dan Barber and Tony Calvin. Let's come to you first, TC, because what is the likelihood of Kelso getting the go-ahead?
If you read the Clark and, of course, Matthew Taylor on X, pretty minimal. He said they'll need significant improvement throughout the day and they need to, tonight's forecast, which suggests another 10 mil or so, you want that to be wrong. So that's quite a related contingency double and it's massive. It's massive odds against, isn't it? Massive odds against.
Okay, that's pretty depressing. Then, Dan, you were meant to be there, weren't you?
Yeah, I'm weathery tomorrow, on Friday as that is, and they're inspecting as we'll be recording, so I might just pop onto another web page just to check that as we go.
Fair enough. And Daryl, it's all weather action to the fore. Are you ready for that?
Yeah. It's not all doom and gloom. But big week next week with Aintree, so I'm hoping if I can get through this weekend with a couple of winners on the all-weather, it'll keep me going until the big action next week.
How do you find the swapping, Dazzler? Because you have to do it more than you and Tees have to do it more than I would, you know?
Yeah, sometimes it can be refreshing. Like I said the other week, like flat season seems to come around at the correct time, really. I don't mind when it's decent, you know, above class three action on the all weather. I can get stuck into it, some reliable form. But when it gets a bit of the lower grade stuff, I tend to stay clear of it, to be honest.
Yeah. I should just say before we go any further, that next week, as Daryl's mentioned, we've obviously got Aintree as the main focus. We'll have daily shows for the 3 days of Aintree's Grand National meeting. So really looking forward to that. We'll be covering all the ITV racing. Can't wait to get stuck into the big one as well. Exciting times just around the corner. And on this show, we're going to have loads of additional place races for you on Saturday. So keep an eye out for that. And also check your carousel for all offers that are available for you and those additional place races. There'll be loads going on there. Check them out. But of course, as always, with those offers, read the T's and C's first, please. And usual note of caution. Have fun with it this weekend, but we want you to do it responsibly, please.
Got some fun feedback, V. Feedback for once. Yeah, somebody said that if they can introduce some Dan Barber-esque dad jokes into their own work, they'd be a happy man. Now, I thought I was a bit better than dad jokes, to be honest, so feels like a slightly backhanded compliment, that. I thought I was dealing in really cutting-edge humour.
You are stuck in that comment section, aren't you?
No, this is an email with a nice lad I was chatting to.
To confirm, you thought you were better than dad jokes?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
What's our engine sounds like a parrot?
I don't know.
A carrot. Move on.
Right. Okay. Well, that was fun. We thought we'd hit a low with the sheep chat on Wade in earlier in the week. And now this is it. Right. Let's kick off over at Kempton. As I mentioned, we're covering the all-weather racing first because we know this is going to go ahead, TC. And we are starting with the 205 at Kempton. It's the Snowdrop Filly Stakes. It's a listed race, so it's nice and high class. And we've got 10 runners as well going to post and really wide open as terms of the betting is when you're looking at the betting, we've got many tiers up at the top of the betting. Having a first run for James Ferguson was over in Ireland with Joe Lyons 3-1. Schwazia then is next at 9-2, and Adelaide is over from Ireland as well with the Irish trainer Joseph O'Brien. So plenty of Irish form coming into mix with some of our better British form. TC, which way did you sway?
Yeah, changed a bit over the overnight stage here with the 15-8 anti-post favourite Novus not being declared. And the other no-show was a 5-1 shot as well. So the betting was shaken up a bit, but that would be good news for those who have got the fancy prices about many tiers early in the week. Opened up at 10s, went to 13-2, and then went to 7-2. So that's probably why the sportsbook had ducked him in a little bit, because obviously they've had a fair bit of trade on that one. You can fully see the case for it. Obviously, it cost a whopping $300,000 out of Joe Lyons stables in December. Dundalk, she's the only one hitting with a penalty, but that Dundalk form, they could have rated higher than 95 on that because she beat two 96 rated old of Hillies pretty handsomely there. So even though she's got the penalty, I think she's probably the right favourite. You know, you can get bigger elsewhere. But yeah, I thought Many Tears stable going really well as well. I thought we had a lot going for it. If you're looking for an angle into the race, and somebody obviously did this morning, there's no real guaranteed pace here. So I thought Mysterious Love and Rose Prick were the most likely ones to go forward. The latter from stall three. She's been back from 40s to 20s already. We're recording this, obviously, as usual, at 3 o'clock on Thursday. So Rose Prick from the front maybe could be an angle there, still 20s. But yeah, I thought Many Tears was the right favourite in there.
Mad, isn't it? You mentioned her purchase price, $300,000, right? Obviously, it's a lot of money, but she already had listed Black Type in the book, Daryl. And, you know, you see horses selling for $300,000 as yearlings that unfortunately never make the track or can't put one foot in front of another. She may well look like value at $300,000.
Yeah, I know. It just always doesn't sit quite well with me when a horse like that seems to be on the upgrade and then they want to ship her out or they're happy to let her go. I don't know why it just doesn't sit well with me. So I'm going to be trying to take her on this first start for James Ferguson. She may well be the correct favourite. She may well win, but I think the obvious is sort of staring in the face a little bit here with Joseph O'Brien's Adelaide with William Buick booked. Knocking about in a couple of listed races in France at the end of last season, actually ran really well, career best on the ratings. And I think they're going to have a set up for this. I think they're going to have a ready to fire first time out, trying to hopefully get the scalp of a couple that may just need the run first time out and get some Black Type. She's very progressive without kind of winning. She now returns to Kempton where she won as a novice. That's the only victory she's got to her name. So I assume with the booking of William Buick coming back here, it's all sort of a little bit of a plan coming together to hopefully strike at the first time of asking. So she'll do for me.
Yeah, and it has Kevin Blake written all over it, doesn't it?
He wouldn't tell you, though. He wouldn't tell
you. No, of course he wouldn't tell us. No, God forbid. But we know he's to blame for this addition to this race. Isn't that right, Dan?
Yes, I'm sure he's... his favourite race in the calendar is that Phillies listed juvenile hurdler Aintree, isn't it?
It's
an opportunity for him to nick some Black Type for one of Joseph's fillies over there. The point that Dan makes is quite interesting, actually. And I just wanted to double check who the prior owners were. And it's those yellow and green colours that we associate with Jay Lyons. So not like low spending owners. But that slight negative aside, I was minded to go with her. James Ferguson, you know, we're hot this time of year. I'm always looking for stables that look like their horses are fit and that they're not behind. And the fact he's had 10 returning from a 90-day plus absence since the 1st of March and only one has finished outside the frame, including two winners, 4 seconds, suggests that he's made a bit of a concerted effort that we're going to have our horses ready to go in the early part of the as what is the turf season, albeit this obviously on all weather. And when you've spent that amount of cash, it feels a bit of a statement to me. You've got a horse of that stature off Jay Lyons and it's gone for $300,000. You don't really want to be starting with a low-key run, do you? So I can see the purchase price of Darrell Race is a potential negative of it, and I think you can see a potential upside in the fact that they'll want to have her ready. She's obviously very effective on our weather. Good turn of foot. She was progressive. I thought she was the right favourite too. The one I didn't really like, even though on the figures you'd have her up there, was Mystic Pearl. I just don't like that angle of packed off to Dubai, has a couple of cracks over there, runs in the balance sheet. And only 6 weeks later, we're expected to see her firing again back on, without much time to acclimatise again, back in Britain. So she was the one in the market I was most negative with, and Many Tears was the one I was most positive about.
That the Haggis first-time pieces stats aren't very good. He's 26 from 170, which is, for a trainer with his normal strike rate, is modest.
And just to back up what you were saying, Dan, there in regards to James Ferguson, I've been on course when he had those two novice winners, that nocturnal one, absolutely bolted up at Wolves. And then he had another one on Tuesday night as well. It was well backed and bolted up in that novice at Wolves, beating a couple of Gosden horses. And obviously Danny Muscat was on them both those horses. And it was clear that, you know, Yard is forward. Yard is ready to rock and roll this year. So it's definitely a positive in that regard in terms of the stable and just where they've got their stock at the moment on average. Let's move on to the 240, which is over the mile, 3 furlongs. It's the Rosebery Handicap. And in Tinzo, again, at the top of the market, it is a wide open market. We've got 14 runners, 14 of 14, and Tinzo is 4-1. Old Horovian, back from a very long break, nearly a year off the track, is 4-1. Last seen on the turf at Newbury, sort of disappointing that day. It's been off ever since. Chillingham next best for Ed Bethel at 13-2. TC, I shall start with you again here. This is surely a race where there's got to be something away from the top of the market. I feel that that's the angle here.
If there was, I struggled to find it. First thing we should say is that 8 horses got balloted out. There were 23 at the 5-day stage and 22 got declared.
Wow.
So if you backed any of the following, get your money back anti-post. You don't, well, some firms don't automatically do it. They are No Surrender, Mustard's Eid, Andaleep, Winter Reprise, True Courage, Key Tower, Rathgar, Robusto. So if you back any of those anti-post, you're entitled for your money back. I was originally going to side with Chillingham, but a couple of things put me off. Now, he's got a lot going for him. One first time out last season, stable are going well, and he's only a pound higher than when just touched by Pridwen. And obviously, Pridwen's now 11 pound higher. And in that Wolverhampton race, the third, fourth, and fifth have all won since as well. So I think he's really well handicapped. But what worried me is they haven't got the tongue tie on that he wore for that really good Wolverhampton run. And I was hoping we were a bit bigger than sixes as well. Very boring. There was a few. Obviously, you can give a chance to all of these. But I thought in Tinzo, 5-1 with the sportsbook is probably is my idea of the favourite. And I thought there might be some little bit of juice in his price at 5-1. Nothing major sticks out for me. Was looking at kind of like Youthful King, but I was hoping he'd be better drawn than 10. A lot of pace in here, but I thought in Tinzo, if he gets the run of the race and won, I thought he really went at Wolverhampton last time, and I think an £8 rise might not stop him. But yeah, a 5-1's a top price around as well.
Okay. In Tinzo then for TC. Dan, we'll come to you next, I think, here.
Yeah, okay. Youthful King, the horse that Daryl mentioned, gave a good nod to at Lingfield last week. He ran a massive race from a bad position, but he looks a Lingfield horse, doesn't he? Sort of really well suited to the way those races develop. It doesn't tend to really happen here unless you get a bit of a pace collapse. It's more about stamina than speed, isn't it, compared to Lingfield. The flat time gurus have been purring, should I say, about Old Horovian, but it's a nearly 11-month layoff and returning in a tongue tie. There are potential negatives. And there's a potential negative, I suppose, within Tinzo, because I don't actually love stall one on a horse that's not going to be going forward. They'll probably just sit in touch. And so it could lead to some trouble in running. But I think his all-weather record, 2 really impressive wins where he's shown a turn of pace. The defeat in between reads perfectly well. He's got a really strong Ascot form on turf from last season. He's had only a handful of starts since a debut success. He's really got a pedigree to work with. Top connections. I think he probably is one of those who's going to develop into a pattern class performer the way he took care of them at Wolverhampton. And provided he gets a clear run at things and doesn't get bottled up the inside, cutaway, the cutaway trademark, as we as everybody likes to refer to it at Kempton, that may well be crucial for his chance. But I agree with Tony that all things being equal, 5-1, 4-1, I wouldn't be averse to backing this horse at 3s, to be honest.
There's loads of pace in there. There's 7 out of 14 like to go forward, so hopefully that'll play in his favour. And we should also mention there's 4 places for each way punters here as well.
So, Daryl, then, it's over to you. Dan and TC within Tinzo. I honestly didn't think this was the way this conversation was going to pan out. Are you going to make it all 3 in within Tinzo, the market leader here?
No, I'm going to be with Old Horovian. I actually really liked the way he ran in the Al Ryan Stakes at Newbury. He was very free early on. He was still there at the business end to come the finish. That was a huge step up from a run-of-the-mill novice at Wolverhampton. He's obviously 2-2 on the all-weather. He's gone well fresh before. I know the tongue tie is a slight concern. I suppose that's the first thing that I sort of went, oh, Don't know about that. But the fact that Oshin's on, the fact that he's gone well fresh, I think a mark of 93 considerably underestimates him. I don't think you can say that about too many others in here. I think he's got the potential to be a good £10 ahead of the handicapper. So hopefully they'll have him straight first time. Just to touch on you, Phil Key, I've been with him the last twice. He's been drawn in the car park the last twice at Lingfield. Done remarkably well. But as Dan said, I'm not sure. He looks like he wants an extra furlong, but he's normally a horse that goes off from the front. So he's only been held up because of circumstances. They'll probably try it again here, but I think he'll be vulnerable to stronger stayers at the finish. But he's a horse to keep on the right side of when he finally gets a bloody good draw. Because he hasn't had the last three times. So Old Harrovian for me.
Okay, Old Harrovian then off the break. And don't forget that 240 is an extra place race. Let's move on to the 315 over the 2 miles. Stayers handicap, the Queen's Prize handicap, 2 miles at Kempton. Sweet Fantasy is currently up at the top of the market, 3-1. Novel Legend, 7-2. Aquam in here, 8-1 after that. Spirit Mixer, 8-1 as well. Some old favourites here. But Sweet Fantasy, back from the hurdles campaign, which has obviously been beneficial to her. She had a couple of wins over hurdles, Dan. How is that going to convert back onto the flat now? Where do we think we're at with her for James?
And another really interesting Owen dual purpose performer, undoubtedly. But at the same token, everybody's just alive to this now, aren't they? They're just alive to what a good trainer he is.
He had he had a winner at Wolves the other night with that stayer that's been with Joe Tizard, won over Jumps.
Tamaris, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. Well done. And he's got that now, and won on the flat, and then they're going to go back hurdling, chasing all sorts with him. Just loves
it. He's really good. I remember chatting to him at Aintree back when the Big Lens won, and he was only just sort of making a ripple then, but he got all those Gredley horses, and this is another one, of course, now. So I like the fact that he's getting dual-purpose animals. That's the hope with him, that he's going to be a really important trainer in getting good flat horses to bring over Jumps. But I don't think the market has missed him. The one I was minded to go for, and you've got to do a bit of joining the dots, is Spirit Mixer. Obviously, we've not seen much of him at all. He's been out only twice in 2 years or so. But you go back to his sort of relentless progress he was making as a turf and or weather horse a couple of seasons ago. That culminated with the second Chatrushan in the Northumberland Plate. Clearly the standout piece of form in this race. I don't think there's any question about that. You've got to go back to 2022 for it. He then missed 9 months, returned at Musselburgh. Track probably wasn't ideal. And he then missed another 11 months. Big price in his return. I suspect that they had bigger fish to fry than that Lingfield handicap when he was a big price and he missed the break. And then you've got Oshin taking over from the claimer that normally rides him. I almost feel like this is D-Day for him. This is the day when, if he's going to recapture something like the Northumberland Plate form, where he was second to Trushan off 97, it might be in a pretty valuable handicap at Kempton, back on an all-weather surface, where he's managed to find himself on a mark a pound lower. So quite sweet on him. I know there's downside, he could blow out, but I thought his win price was too big anyway.
Interesting. Okay, well, Daryl, you were with Balding Horse in the last race, Old Harrovian. He was Spirit Mixer here, or can you see the angle with it here?
Yeah, Dan's hit the nail on the head, really. I thought it was a fairly eye-catching run at Lingfield as well. I didn't think he was given too much of a hard time, and I'm no paddock judge, but just watching him sort of go around the track there, he looked like he was tightening up a good deal for that run. Look, I don't want to repeat what Dan said, but he's bang on. The other one I was just going to have a small cover on was going to be Circuit Breaker, who was formerly in the Spirit Mix of Colours, but he's with Jonjo O'Neill now. This horse comes here with a tongue tie off an 190-day break. We haven't seen him since he was chasing home Urban Look at Haydock last year. I didn't think Hector Crouch made enough use of him that day. He's a horse that will just stay forever, it seems.
Massive, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a massive galloping type. The angle with him is I'm hoping that he's going to pop out from stall one and he's just going to get on the front end and just sort of keep rolling, because I don't think he's a quickener, Dan, is he?
No, he's just a big... I'd like to. He's gone to John Joe. He's a horse I do want to see going jumping next season.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And he's one of the course. I just thought there was definitely more to come. He crossed the line, still were running left, I thought, behind Urban Outlook, who's gone well up in the weights after chasing home Lordship next time, a horse me and Dan both like last year. I think there's scope for improvement off his mark of 89. He's very lightly raced. if he can get well positioned under James Doar, I think he'll be there or thereabouts for a very small each way bet. But the main player in the race will be Spirit Mixer.
Okay, and then Circuit Breaker getting that handy little mention. Currently 12-1, having that first run for John Joe. TC, last word to you with this. Who else would you like to throw in here?
Yeah, just very quickly, another race where there are horses balloted out. So if you're back to Valuation, Jeremiah, or Tenerife Sunshine, you get your money back. If you played Anti-Post, load of pace in here. Counting 6 of the 14 at Forward Goers. So hopefully that'll play in the favour of Duty of Care, who's drawn 14 to 14. Now, that's not ideal, but like I said, I think the pace angle will work in his favour. He was drawn 13 to 13 when he ran at Newcastle last week, and he didn't have any chance of coming from off the pace there from where he was. He rumbled on into six, and he didn't have an easy race there. So that worries the quick turnaround worries me a bit. So I'm going to play Duty of Care win only. The case for him is pretty obvious. It's back to his favourite hunting ground at Kempton. I think most of his better efforts have been over this course and distance. He's a dual course winner. He finished second to Bandinelli in this race off a £2 high mark last season. He's just returned to Kempton off a falling handicap mark. And hopefully there'll be a bit of a pace collapse and you won't see him till late here. But Duty of Care. I'll probably play win only because I'm a bit worried about that turnaround. But any double figures for Duty of Care, I think is the bet in the race.
I couldn't believe how much of a free time they gave Pryden up towards the front end last week at that Newcastle race. So
it threatened to be one of the all-time days on the pod, didn't it? When you put up the first winner at double figures, and then mine quickly went downhill after that.
Yeah, mine went much better.
Onwards we go, guys. Let's stay positive. Let's not look back. Let's keep looking forward. That's what we like to do on this show. Let's bounce over to Chelmsford, TC, because we're going to cover the condition stakes race at 3:30 over the mile. It's a road to the Kentucky Derby. It's a class two. It's for the three-year-olds. And it may well make it onto ITV if Kelso doesn't get the go-ahead. So we'll take a look at it. It's a spicy little contest. And we've got Nate O'Brien runner at the top of the market, 6-4 Capulet, over from Ireland, had the three runs last year as a juvenile and now coming here for the reappearance. Interestingly, he's got a runner in this. Cuban Tiger for the Carl Burke operation, the second best in the betting, 9-4, been on the go so far this year to great success. Those are your top two in the market. Is this a race that's interesting, UTC?
Yeah. Credit to the BHA for acting swiftly this morning. They saw that Uxoxeter and Kelso are massive odds against to go ahead, so that would have left Kempton on its own. So they moved Kempton forward, Chelmsford forward from an evening meeting to an afternoon meeting, and it seems like they're going to put the 3:30 on ITV if Kelso goes. I suspect we'll also get the alleged stakes at the Curragh on ITV as well if Kelso does bite the bullet. But
I was just saying goodbye to Weatherby there, by the way. It's been abandoned.
Right, okay.
Weatherby.
Okay. You'll have a... You get this far out, you get 75% of your fee, don't you, Dan?
I think it's...
I think that's
If it's the day before it's 75, it's 2 days or more before it's 50, isn't it?
I think it's not to be discussed on a podcast myself, but...
I obviously you can see why the Royal Lodgeford Capulet is the favourite, and you can see why Cuban Tiger is the second favourite, because even though he won narrowly last time, I think he won a bit snugly. They came to him and he went again, so I think there's a bit more in the tank from Cuban Tiger. But I think Orm's just the wrong price at 5-1. Now, I don't back each way in dead eight races 48 hours in advance, and I probably wouldn't do it until about the morning of the race, but I suspect the fives would be gone by then. But I think Orne's just the wrong price. He was well beaten by Cuban Tiger at Newcastle last time, but he's £5 better off, and he did a lot wrong that day. Pulled a bit too hard, as he's mindful to do. Switched him outside, they switched him inside. He only got racing late. Now, no surprise they put first-time cheap pieces on. First-time cheap pieces for the yard is not bet-inducive. I think they're 9 from 80 since 2017, so nowhere near the usual strike rate. But you can see you can see why they've gone for some headgear, whether it be the hood or the cheek pieces. They've gone for the cheek pieces. Like, I just think on his bare form, on his previous Lingfield run, I think Orn is overpriced at fives. I can see him starting at threes. And the pace angle is interesting here. I mean, he has made the running before when he won the Horace Hill, but three others like to go forward as well. And yeah, I think Orn's overpriced. I'd have him more threes than fives.
Okay, Orn with those cheap hits is interesting angle when he does have that tendency to be a touch keen. I wonder if they could go either way with him, but I suppose that's the experiment they're trying with. Daryl, have you taken a look at this race?
Yes, yeah, I have. Yeah, Orn, I could, like Tony, I can see why they put the cheap piece on him. Obviously, as you mentioned, being keen is a slight concern, but he looked very reluctant under a bit of pressure at Newcastle last time. He did shape, though, that he would come on, like, sort of come on for the run. It would look like a rusty performance, so I expect an improved performance from him. I think Capulet is a great price at 6-4. I really expected this horse to open up at a shade of odds on. Went off favourite for the Royal Lodge last year, narrowly beaten by Ghostwriter, stayed on at the finish there. That's easily the best form in this race, in my opinion. And I thought he should have won at Leopardstown the time before, behind Diego Velasquez. I thought, I mean, it was a little bit of a talking point at the time. Shamey Heffernan sort of put his stick down, and I really thought
it's coming back to me now. It was a tough one.
I thought he should have won that day. I thought he came out, looked the best horse there. First time at Newmarket, perhaps didn't seem to best effect in that Royal Lodge, but he stayed on very strongly. This is nowhere near that level for me. I agree, Tony, Orn is the one to give me most to think about. But if he's straight, first time under Ryan Moore, I think he'd take a world of beating. Very, very surprised he's at 6-4 shot and not a short of a 10-11 on shot.
Dan, does that mean that we're missing something with Capulet coming over for this? Like, his price, Daryl obviously thinks it's a generous price at this stage. I mean, are we missing anything here?
Well, the only thing I could think of is whether people are happy to lay on the basis that he's probably got bigger targets, and the Guineas presumably is one of them, one of the early classics, something like that. No?
They were talking about a Derby trial for him. I haven't spoken to Ryan. I don't think I'll be doing a column with him, but if I am, I'll let people know, obviously. But yeah, I think they were talking about a Derby trial for him, and they're talking about City of Troy being the solo going to the Guineas. And I just think he might be more of a stayer down the line than a mile horse.
Yeah, he's out of a sister to Serpentine, isn't he? Who remains the flukiest Derby winner I've ever seen. Blue Lemons and Bracken's Laugh, the two horses whose names begin with B and L, they've got prior form as well. They met each other, and Bracken's Laugh won on debut at Newbury. Blue Lemons was third, but giving £6 away for the penalised for the debut success. But that's not even part of my thinking anyway. I'm going to take those two out of the equation. And fraught with dangerous, TC always says, 8 are declared, you just hope all 8 run. Bergamasco I was going to put up each way at 10s. Now, that could be crazy because there's a chance the Dundalk race isn't worth anything like as much as it appears, but there's no way from the race developed that it looked a fluke. And the horse of Aidens, who was odds on favourite and finished last of the three, has since come out and finished fifth in the UAE Derby. Bergamasco, stepping up from a handicap, tanked all over them, showing how effective he is on all weather, because he's won at Dundalk multiple times and just showed a really good turn of pace. So I think he's in such good form and he's fit that he's going to give his running again. And I think that might be enough to have him in the three for sure. And he's 10-1. One being withdrawn and him finishing third.
Yeah. Just your luck, Dan. Just your luck. Okay, let's bounce over to Kelso then, of course, with the asterisk that we do not know if this racing is going to take place. And if you're listening and watching right now, it may or well already have been abandoned. But if it is going ahead, then please stay with us because we will cover the ITV races. And we will kick off with the 150. And of course, the ground is going to be heavy if it gets the go ahead. The 150 is over the 3 miles too. It's going to be an absolute slog for the handicap hurdlers in this. And you've got Major Fortune up at the top of the betting, 15-8 currently with Betfair, looking for a sixth win on the bounce for the Skelton team. And the question is, Tony Calvin, are you with this big improver or are you against him?
Obviously, conditions are going to be absolutely brutal if it does go ahead. Like I said, already waterlogged in places and 10 mil more to come. And there's a bit of rain knocking around on Saturday as well. So you might not know until Saturday morning whether it's going to go ahead. If it does go ahead, you've got four places in this race. The one that interests me were Prince DeFisho, Now, he was on the 3-mile-2 handicap chase later on the card, but he would have been out of handicap here. So they're taking advantage of the fact that he's £7 lower over hurdles and he's over fences. Now, that's for a reason, because all his best form is over chases. But coming here off the back of an Ida, obviously very deep ground, stays a lot further, which is a big positive. I thought, obviously, I'm not a big fan of the ex-champion jockey, but I thought the 14s, four places was fair if the race goes ahead. Prince de Fichot.
Dan, I know, I mean, I feel like it's just, yeah, will it go ahead? Who knows? But who will be able to cope with, as TC uses the adjective, brutal conditions best in here?
Well, Major Fortune's been handling them with aplomb. I mean, where does his rise end? I mean, he's won 5 in a row. We've seen with Santos Blue doing us a good turn at the track last season that Dan doesn't like to waste his bullets, and he probably would have won with Lemieux had Harry not gone for home so soon, also at the track last season. He doesn't want to waste his Kelso bullets because, you know, it costs a few quid to get him up there, doesn't it? But he's won 5 in a row, keeps doing it by these narrow margins under unbelievably confident rides. The Linford race was a joke. I could have run faster than them for the first mile. And then they sort of sprinted throughout the back end of the race, and he just, confident ride, got there under hands and heels. He's gone for it. He must have been one of the best handicapped horses around. He won first time of 79. Go back to his time with Tom Lacey. He finished placed behind fairly useful horses in 2 bumpers. I don't think 112 is anywhere near the ceiling of his ability and potential, and his effectiveness on bad ground is a massive, massive plus. I am going to save on one, though, and it's a horse who also revels in the mud, who Darrell's been with lately a couple of times, Fleur, who, ex-Gordon, not very consistent nowadays, but the run 2 starts back against Curly Finger, who was absolutely thriving, really sound. And I just think that Utoxeter race will prove very strong form. He got beaten 40 lengths, but some credit to the fact he still beat 12 others in a 17-runner field. It was dominated by improvers. Gwenny May Boy ended up winning it. This just looks slightly easier. And, yeah, you chance him at a big price. You don't touch him each way, probably.
It might have just come too soon as well, that Utoxeter race.
Yeah, it was only 2 weeks off. He's had, what, three or so now? Yeah, I think exactly 3 to recover. So I thought he was a potential runner because he normally runs in much better races than this and goes well in the mud. But yeah, I thought Major Fortune at the bottom of the weight stood out quite a lot in profile.
Right, let's move on to the 225 then. Over the 2 miles, 5 furlongs, it's handicap hurdle, and Air Street is your market leader currently. We've got another full field of 16 here, TC, and it is a wide open market. Air Street for Jackie Stephen, looking for the 3-timer. Kilter in there for the Sam England Yard at 6-1. North Parole has had an excellent season for Sue Smith. It's been a bit of a headline horse for her. Those are your top 3 in the market, but as I say, wide open here.
Yeah, we've got 5 places with the sportsbook at the moment. There's 3 double entered due to run on Friday. If those goes ahead, I suspect those 5 places will come down to 4 with those 3 non-runners. But even so, Faithful Flyer is 20-1, and even with a small rule 4, I think that's a very good price. 20s ran a lot better last time at Musselburgh. Down to a mark of 100 now. He's got good course form. He's won one of his 3 starts there, finished 3rd in the other 2 starts, and he's 1 from 1 on heavy. So stick that all in together in a very, very moderate race with the extra places. I think Faithful Flyer at 20s, even with, like I said, that small reduction factor. Faithful Flyer for me each way.
Okay, big price as well, despite, as you say, might go down to the 4 places here. Dan, you next in here, please.
Yeah, I suppose the question with Air Street is, where will the progress end? But I honestly thought I'd have a real sneaky
one. It's an excellent question, Dan. It is an excellent question.
the progress of the horse I've got to put up, which I honestly thought I've got a lively one here. Nobody else will be putting this up, and Tony's just... solo selection. He's joining the same dots as me with Faithful Flyer.
Wow, 20-1, both of you. Bloody hell.
I just think this has been the plan now. 2 months break. he ran perfectly well when I was there on his return over the wrong trip, 2 miles. He travelled well through the race. It was behind Bois Gilbert, an autumn return. Autumn return reopposes and he's £7 worse off. But it's less about those weights and measures with that horse. It's more about the fact that he revels in the mud. He's yet to have it this season. Musselburgh wouldn't necessarily, I certainly don't think around 19 furlongs would net on good to soft ground would be an optimum test for him. Yet, as Tony said, he did run better behind Welsh Charger last time. He's 20s, he's dropped down to 100. His win at Kelso last season was really impressive of 92, and he held his own afterwards. Got touched off back at Musselburgh, but it was 3 miles that day at Musselburgh by Curly Finger, who we know what he's gone on to do. He just got a reference early in line with Fleur in the staying handicap. So, yeah, I didn't think we'd be parking our cars in the same garage, TC, on this, but we definitely are. I think he's a proper lively one at 20s plus.
Yeah, the only slight nagging doubt, the form of the Sandy Thompson yard is not great. Very small sample, but his last few runners have run like drains.
Yeah, I suppose the question is, when will his progress begin again, isn't it? Yeah. The horse, that is.
Okay, on we go. Daryl, let's bring you back in here. You're my favourite anyway. 3 miles, 2 furlongs, the handicap chase. Just the 5 runners to pose for this. Another slog, 2 shots of tequila, 2-1, Fab currently. But does he know? Your pal, Daryl.
Oh, yeah.
Or did your right turn at Doncaster when we last saw him, ended up going off at a huge price in the Grimthorpe of 20-1 and bolted in for you, essentially. Well, not quite, but, you know, we'll give you the hype here. 20-1. Are you with him again, Daryl?
Yeah, do you know what? I kind of am. It was a tough race he had that day, but he's up £5. But this is an easier task on paper, isn't it? He's going to go off out in front again, I assume. It's only his second start in the cheek pieces, which I thought really helped in that day. Kept his head nice and straight going forward rather than side to side. He's a classy horse, and his class just might be able to get him through. I know it's a big weight in if it goes ahead, and it's going to be horrendous conditions, but he's got such a good attitude, this horse. And if he's recovered from that, and it looks like he has going up to Kelso, then I think it'd be tough to beat. I very much respect 2 shots of tequila. He's probably got a bigger effort in him off a mark of 130. But I think your own story is prepping for a Scots National, and I'm not sure Ballycoose is up to this level. So, yeah, I kind of would. It wouldn't be, you know, you back him at sort of 10s and 14s and 20-1 last time. You've asked to back him at 5-2 or £5 high mark. It's a bit difficult to do, but this is another good opportunity for him, I think.
TC, 2 shots of tequila is carrying 10-4. Does he know 12 stone and in heavy ground, which is what it can only be described as if it does go ahead? It's going to be a huge weight difference between them. And there's only the 5 runners. So are you having a bet in this race? And if you are, how are you playing it?
Yeah, it's cut up massively this race. There was 13 in it on Monday. It's now 5. It would have been 4 if Warwick had gone ahead today, because your own story was due to run at Warwick today. I'd have 2 shots of tequila over Does He Know. This will be the most attritional ground Does He Know as running. So I'd be with Elvis Mayall was the obvious one earlier in the week. Obviously he's got really good course form. He's on the same mark as when beating Highland Hunter and Burroughs Diamond and Empire Steel and Koresh Rambler here in October. Won this race by 7.5 lengths last year. It's a heavy ground winner. I just thought Elvis Mayall was the one earlier in the week. I still think the current price is okay. But the more I look at it, I mean, like I said, we've lost 8 runners from Monday, and your own story is the same price. And obviously he's due to go around £2 in future handicaps, but he's very closely handicapped with a favourite on their run last time. If you ask me at the current prices, which is what we have to deal with, doing this podcast, I think your own story is overpriced at 7-1. I don't think the markets has adjusted to the fact there's been so many non-runners, withdrawals even.
Okay, interesting. Your own story then for TC at the current prices, as he has highlighted. Daniel, have the boys mentioned either of your, any selection for you? Are you with the boys?
Yeah, they have. Unlike though, I couldn't really have two shots of tequila. I think he's a poor price. I just don't think he's a strong enough stayer to win a race like this. He travels strongly, gets delivered late. It's all right doing it. It was Newcastle on soft ground in a three-runner race. Prior to that, it was Catterick on heavy, where he basically won it because he's a strong traveller. I can see him absolutely wilting on the likely conditions we're going to get at Kelso with, you know, a horse like Does He Know trying to run the finish out of everything from the front. I came back on Elvis May. Now, Gladiators has come back to TV and made a storm in return. I'm going to bring the form figures back, if I may. This is Elvis May at Kelso. 4-1, 3-1-1, 2-2-2, 4-3, 1-1-3. He's so dependable generally, but he's mustered around here. They always target the track. He loves the mud. He doesn't put much pressure on his jumping around here, which has let him down at tracks like Cheltenham since that really good return. I think it's generous that he's ended up on the same mark now as he was first time out of 1-4-3. And I thought he was guaranteed to give his running. How many Nick Alexander horses haven't performed this season? He had a remarkable time, I think. So I thought he should be closer in the betting to the other two. I am most fearful of Does He Know because he's just got that class edge. And if he's on a going day, he could gallop them into submission. But I thought Elvis Mail at nearly twice the price was too big. And I thought two shots of tequila was a bad price.
You mentioned that Nick Alexander. The horse was also in at Carlisle on Sunday, so I got in touch with him on Tuesday to see what race they were going to go for, and he kindly got back to me. Like, I've never met him in my life, so I hope he does win, because like I said, he's going to be the next NTF president, isn't he? Nick Alexander. Right. He seems a very kind of like personable guy. So
he's very bright.
I hope this way he does win.
Yeah, good guy alert. So that's five runners in that race, and we've tipped up three horses. So fingers crossed we have a winner, boys. Right, 3:35 at Kelso over the 2 miles. It's for the mare's novice handicap hurdle. And it's the double green that have got the domination of this at the moment. Brucio for the Crawford operation, 7-2. Lily de Burley again for them, 6-1. Shake Your Tail Feather is next best at 6-1 as well for the Skelton Yard. Dan, I will come to you here first. A bit of Irish form coming in here, obviously, from those Crawford horses. But of course, we've seen them plenty over here as well. And how do they stack up, the two of them in here?
Yeah, part of you thinks that they get running one to keep the weight down for the other. But I don't answer. I just think there is such a massive class edge for Brucio that showing her form might be enough. I mentioned Gladiators. Brucio Forsyth was a big figure, wasn't he? 90 game shows as well.
Never liked him. Yeah, creepy vibe about him.
Good guy.
See, not just dad jokes, is it?
No, impressions, bad impressions too. There are four of them out of the handicap, for one. Loads of these are just sort of fair handicappers, whereas Brucio, yeah, she's paid for it in the handicap. She's got to give £16 away, but the Leopardstown listed form is, I mean, some of these would be absolutely tailed in that race. She was able to win it. I think the class will get her through in this.
Okay, so top of the market then for Dan. TC, do you think that they've got a hill to climb to beat this Brucio, given the form that she's bringing in?
At the current prices, I probably have the stablemate, Lily de Burley, at sixes over Brucio. We might find out a bit more, but you could have bumped into one when beating the odds on last time by Sweet Fantasy. Off a mark of 116, looks very generous on her graded performances last year. So probably won't be having a bet, but I thought Lily de Burley, four places, 6-1, was a very fair price.
All right, so we've got a nod for the double green then, favourite and second favourite. Daryl, who did you side with here?
Yeah, you're going to love this. If this race goes ahead, I'm just going to back both the Crawford horses and sit back and watch one of them win.
Okay.
I just think they're so far clear of anything else in this race. I think it's outrageous, really. The race that Lily de Burley ran in at Catterick last time, that was a really weird race. Like Sweet Fantasy, they just gave that horse an absolute freebie from the get-go. And it was almost like Daryl J was like, hold on, we better sort of try and get close or do something here. It was the only one that went to chase the horse, but was obviously tiring late on, having been off the track for almost a year. She's dropped £4 for that. That was definitely just a spin, just to get the fitness back into her. She's much better than 116, surely. JJ Slevin coming over is a good pointer to the fact that they think she's better than that mark as well. And Brucio did a really good number on my clock at Leopardstown when beating Minx Tiara. It was only Ballyburn that beat her circuit time, and she went off at 5-1 for that. Was it the Moor Battle? Was it? No, what was it?
Premier Novice.
Yeah, she went out just 5-1 for that, giving some support during the day. So, obviously, think she's capable. Ben Bromley claims 5 off. It's very difficult to choose between them. At the prices, I'd happily back the pair of them, honestly.
Okay, so basically, it's just double green all the way for the camp then. TC, did you want to mention the alleged stakes before we do naps?
No, I did have a look. Obviously, we've got White Birch returning in that race, but there was no prices when I looked just before the podcast, so no real point.
No, okay, fair enough. But of course, that
nobody priced it up. Not just the sportsbook. It was just because nobody's expecting it to be on ITV. So when it's not expected to be on terrestrial television, nobody tends to price it up till Friday afternoon.
Got you. It does look like it could be an intriguing little event, though. So we'll look forward to that on Saturday as well. We will probably be discussing it on Monday on Wade In. But in the meantime, we need to get your naps, guys. Whilst I give you a minute to think about what your naps are, don't forget, listeners and viewers out there, you've got those extra place races we've already discussed. Lots of big fields to get stuck into this weekend. Also, check your carousel for all the offers available to you, and do read the T's and C's when you do that if you are getting stuck in. And of course, before we go any further, use Betfair's safer gambling tools. Loads of people already do. Those deposit and loss limits, profit and loss tracker. You can set time checks as well for gaming. There's plenty of options for you there, and they're very easy to find on the Betfair website. Right, naps, please. TC, I shall start with you, please. What is your nap?
Duty of Care, 3:15, Kempton.
Thank you. Daryl, your nap?
Papulet, 3:30, Chelmsford.
Ah, lovely. Dan Barber.
Well, I'm going to do it twofold, because if Kelso's on, it'll be Elvis Mayo.
Yeah.
If Kelso isn't on, it's Spirit Mixer, 3:15, Kempton, head-to-head with TC.
Okay, great. All right, look, boys, good fun as always. Where will his improvement end? I do not know. That is the big one here, guys. Have a good weekend, team. Enjoy it. Let's fingers crossed that Kelso does get the go-ahead, because otherwise it'll be a little bit of a quiet weekend and there is good racing up there. So pray for that with the weather gods. But for now, everybody out there, thank you very much for listening. That was Racing Any Better.